Welcome to the Mum Magic Lights, Camera, Baby podcast, where we explore all things pregnancy, birth and parenthood. I'm your host, Progeny Patha, and today we're talking about one of the most important and sometimes challenging parts of new motherhood, and that's breastfeeding, right? Now, to guide us through this conversation, I'm just so glad to have today joining me in studio is Sister Linda Britz. Now, Linda is a registered midwife. She's a nurse, a lactation specialist, and a childbirth educator, and has dedicated her career to supporting moms and babies. Linda, welcome to Lights, Camera, Baby. We're so glad to have you with us.
Wonderful to be here.
Let's just start by telling us a little bit about yourself. I know I gave you a little bit of an introduction, but what drives you, this passion for the work that you do?
So it's been a calling since I was young in primary school. The St. John's Ambulance came around and taught us home nursing and a little bit of probably what they called then, what we call now CPR.
Oh,
and
yes.
It was basic first aid courses, really. And I just had a calling for this right from the beginning. And so from the age of 12, I decided I was going to be a nurse. And as I grew to know that there were midwives that delivered babies, I was like, that's what I want to be. And so it's been a calling for me all my life. So I finished matric and literally went into nursing on the 2nd of January, only because the 1st is a public holiday. So I'm passionate about it. And I'm at the moment, having done close to just over 40 years of nursing, the last 20 I've spent supporting moms with breastfeeding. Because as a midwife, we actually didn't learn practically how to support moms in breastfeeding. We knew the theory, and very basically though.
Yep.
And it wasn't something that you kind of considered would need support.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only after having my own children I realized, hang on a second, this is needing a little bit more support than just naturally putting baby on the breast.
Yes.
And so I did the international board certification and studied a little further than just our midwifery of delivering babies, but how to support moms after birth and keeping that baby alive. And so I specialized in the breastfeeding, which I've been focusing on, and basically, you know, acting as an advocate for babies and just making sure they get the best start to life.
Oh, well, what can we more can we expect? I mean, babies are just so fortunate, I think, to have you in their lives and help you support the mums that you do. But let's start a little bit before baby even arrives, right? We're talking about a little bit before, because many mums wonder what they can do to prepare. I mean, we get so excited, and we know baby's coming, and how do we prepare? But not many moms are told that they can prepare for breastfeeding.
Yes.
You know, we just think that's just going to be a spontaneous thing that will happen.
Just naturally.
Exactly, right? So let's talk about that. How can moms take care of their breasts and prepare for that part?
So you're right, Progeny. There isn't any preparation for breastfeeding. Your breasts know exactly what to do. Your body is designed to provide milk in a certain way for your baby specifically, your baby's age and development. It's so specific, and we'll talk about that just now. So there isn't really a preparation, but what I've found over the years, just by working with the moms, listening to other professionals, and just looking at what is important, it's the same as driving a car. You can't just get into a car and switch on the ignition and go. Some of them, they don't even switch on with a key anymore. It's just so you have to know that equipment. You need to know where the indicator is and so forth. So you need to know your breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women don't actually touch their breasts that often, except maybe when they're in the shower. So they're not really aware of what they feel like. And I've over the years realized that moms need a little bit of time out, a me time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've developed what I call breast care. And in theory, we would do it around 35, 36 weeks, where moms would just gently, while they're in the shower or as they get out of the shower and they're applying body lotion to their bodies,
mm-hmm.
just do an intentional touch and massage, just like we massage our shoulders, our back, just a gentle massage on the breast from the chest wall through to the nipple, almost in the direction of a clock, where you've got 12 o'clock, you come through to the center of the clock, 3 o'clock through to the center. And so that mother would gently just massage her breast, just identifying how the breast feels.
Ah.
So that should she have a plugged duct where there's inflammation in the breast and the milk is, or the one little duct has got a little bit blocked. In other words, she can identify that early enough. And if she starts doing that before she has baby, and it's a very gentle massage on the breast tissue, no stimulation on the nipple, because that gets the same hormone that labors is the same hormone that releases milk from the breast, and that's stimulated by the at the nipple areola area. So it's just a gentle massage on the breast tissue down to the edge of the areola. It doesn't include the nipple before birth.
Right.
And so these moms would do about 20 seconds of a massage on each breast as they're applying their body lotion. That's how simple it is. And it's just having that time where you can just focus on yourself, have a little bit of thought time for yourself. It's time for your own space. And at the same time, just getting to know your breasts and recognizing them, getting to know the equipment, as I call it, and just making sure that you are encouraging those breasts that they will be draining and providing a big volume of milk for baby soon once baby's born.
Wow, that is so interesting. I never realized that because, I mean, during pregnancy, your breasts change so much.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's all of a sudden so foreign to you.
Right.
But also, the massage itself, you're so right. I mean, we don't do that. I mean, no. Even to have a breast exam, which we encourage to do, we forget to do, right? Yes. But knowing, again, because we all want the best for baby when baby's born, I think if mums know that that is going to help with that breastfeeding, that is so true. So you're saying, just to reiterate there then, that you can massage, but don't massage around.
On the nipple areola area.
The nipple and the areola area. So, okay.
Yeah.
So massage
just
around.
Don't want to be stimulating that hormone that could get premature contractions going. But it would have to be quite a bit of stimulation. So I often say to the mothers, I have to share this with you.
Yeah.
As they get closer to their due date and they're kind of like, my goodness, when am I going to go into labor? When is this baby actually deciding to come? Then you could actually do your breast care and do a little bit of stimulation on the nipples or get your husband to stimulate your nipples.
Absolutely.
And that could get the oxytocin, which is the hormone that gets the contractions or the surges, as we call them, which is a lovely word to surge your baby to birth.
Right.
And that's the same hormone that releases milk from the breast and it's stimulated around the nipple areola area. So a lot of stimulation on that area could get pre-contractions going.
When you need that.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't want to do that before too much time before birth.
Absolutely. No, that's really reassuring. I think that gentle care makes all the difference, right? And that's what mom needs. Now, once baby's here, obviously, then the first hurdles of mom's face, you know, facing already getting the latching right.
Correct.
Is a big thing. So obviously latching can feel like it's a make or break of the breastfeeding. I remember being baby being born and the nurse trying to get you to latch and it feels so forceful. And it's so frustrating at the same time. But what does good latching really look like for you?
So first of all, babies breastfeed, they don't nipple feed. And you know, I was just thinking earlier today, often the professionals, before you've even had your baby, are examining your breast, just making sure you're all fine and, you know, doing your blood pressure and all of that. And they often will comment, oh, you know, your nipples are a bit short. I think you might struggle with breastfeeding. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Oh, shame.
Baby's not even here. And we've already destroyed mom's confidence in knowing she can breastfeed, especially if it's her first baby and she doesn't know any different. So it's very important to be positive in our comments and make sure that we are using our words well and positively towards moms. Regardless of what their breasts look like, I'm sure that they, and I often say to the husbands, I mean, they're perfect breasts, aren't they? And they agree. And those moms need to feel confident in the fact that they're going to be able to position their babies at their breast and latch well.
Okay.
And like I said, babies latch onto the breast, not the nipple. So it doesn't matter what shape the nipple is, whether it's long, whether it's short. You may have challenges with regards to that, but the baby ultimately latches onto the breast, a good mouthful of breast tissue. Okay. So baby has to be well up and close to mom,
right?
Not down on mommy's tummy. So even if you've had a cesarean birth,
you
can still achieve the cross cradle hold,
okay,
where you're holding baby up nicely against your chest and waiting for baby's cue to open his mouth. Now, babies have what we call instinctive reflexes, which actually allow them to search for the breast with their mouth. As something touches or brushes against their face, and that should be the breast and the nipple, They will open their mouths really wide. That's their duty. Wow. Babies are meant to open their mouths really wide. And it's mom's then skill, really, in lifting that baby onto the breast, because babies can't lift themselves on. They're not like little koala bears.
Of course.
So mom has to have a good grip of that baby. Cross cradle usually means that you're holding your breast with the same side hand. So if you're feeding on the right breast, your right hand is supporting and holding your breast, and your left hand is lifting baby onto the breast.
Okay.
But the timing makes the difference of letting baby touch that breast, open his mouth, and you time to lift baby towards you and firmly to get a good mouthful of breast tissue into baby's mouth. A lot of moms, and most moms, will actually try and move their chest or their breast off their chest and pull it towards baby.
Yes.
It's so common. And I have to say to the moms, you relax and stay static, stay stationary, and move baby towards you and lift baby onto you, because you can move baby. And the lift is really what it, but the timing of getting baby to open his mouth wide. And it doesn't matter how small baby is, they can open their mouths wide. So it can be quite a small baby, a prem baby, maybe under 2.5 kgs, but they can open their mouth just as wide to get onto that breast past the nipple. They can. So often the moms will make an excuse that they're not opening their mouths wide enough. No, that's not. It's just the timing and getting that right. And then once you're feeling comfortable in babies, and it shouldn't be sore, maybe a wear, and I call it wear on the breast, not tear on the breast. So there shouldn't be cracked, bleeding nipples. That means a baby's nipple feeding, not breastfeeding. And so there shouldn't be any pain. There should be a feeling of a tug, but there shouldn't be pain on the nipple. If you were to squeeze your nipple or pull on it, immediately as I even say that, people are like, oh, that's kind of sensitive.
Mm.
But on the breast itself, that's not as sensitive. So you will know the difference of a good deep latch.
Yes.
And then the most important thing is to note baby swallowing. It's transfer of milk that is the most important. So it's baby being active with little sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he's filled his mouth, he will do a nice swallow. And it's recognizing that, so that the mom must keep quiet. She can't be on her phone. She can't be doing other things or focused on visitors. She needs to quietly watch her baby, learn her baby's cues, look for that routine reflex, wait for baby to be ready, lift baby on, and then watch baby actively feed at the breast with good sucks and nice swallows.
And
that's
what's
important.
That's so interesting because, I mean, these days, you know, everybody's so busy. They're busy doing, and you, whilst you're sitting baby, very often you're on the phone, you might be talking
focused
to dad,
on other things, right.
Focused on other things, thinking about what you have to get done thereafter to get through the day. But I like the process that you've taken us through, because very often we are so limited in our thinking, you know, we need to get to baby. So bringing the breast down towards baby, like you're saying.
That's it.
Bringing baby up.
That's it. Rather lifting baby than leaning forward into baby.
Yes. And then again, that mindful moment about understanding how baby is taking the milk into the mouth and then that waiting for that swallow.
That nice good swallow. And most often it's audible. You can hear the baby swallow. It's very light. It's almost like a little noise. And but for the mom to observe this, she's got a perfect bird's eye view straight down onto the side of baby, because baby's lying tummy to mummy, nicely cuddled into her arm, and she can see straight down onto that side of baby where the swallows are happening through the throat and onto the chest. Yeah.
But it's such a precious moment.
Very, very. And that's really what it's about, is just being quiet in the moment and just reveling in that moment. Just take time for baby. And it can be up to an average of 40 to 50 minutes a baby will feed at the breast for a small amount of colostrum in the beginning. And we'll talk about the different milk.
Absolutely. So getting the latch right is the one thing, right?
It's
but
key.
Then everyone also talks about the flow of milk, right? And it's also a concern, because how do we get our bodies to produce enough milk? Because that's the other big concern that moms have. Am I making enough, right? How do you know whether you have a healthy supply of milk? And in the beginning, especially, like you talked about, you know, it's colostrum.
That's right. And the mothers get a little bit panicked, especially if they haven't seen colostrum, even if they're doing their breast care and they haven't leaked a couple of drops, they get very anxious. And yet they can feel the little bumps of the alveoli with the milk there. It doesn't have to be in big volume before birth, because you don't have your baby.
Uh-huh.
And so over the next week, between day 2 and day 8 postpartum, your breasts start to fill with milk. And I call it the filling. A lot of midwives and professionals pediatricians will call it the milk coming in,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't just suddenly arrive like two bottles of milk.
Mm.
It actually is a process of filling that happens where it peaks on around an average of day four, day five, and then settles down to baby's demand. So the important thing is just to feed your baby regularly according to your baby's cues,
mm-hmm.
and keep a feeding pattern in place, because babies sleep well. I say to the parents, babies sleep for an average of 2 weeks and then they wake for 21 years. So in the first 2 weeks, you need to wake baby, because they sometimes will do long stretches and it'll be during the day. They've been used to being rocked to sleep in mommy's body, and most moms are awake during the day. They're not usually doing night duty, and they sleep at night, and babies will be awake at night because they cannot sleep 24 hours, even in the uterus. And so they change their cycle of sleep and wake to be more alert during the nighttime. Now, newborns don't stay awake for very long, but they will stay awake for an average of 45 minutes to an hour, and in that time is the feeding time. And baby will stimulate those breasts, and the more milk baby removes from the breast, mm-hmm. even right in the beginning as colostrum, the more milk mother will make. So if you had twins,
mm-hmm.
you would be feeding both babies where it would almost be the double amount of a singleton baby that the milk would be removed. And so you would make double the amount. That is how your body works.
Wow.
It is miraculous. And the same for triplets. Often the cases with triplets, they born prem,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually in the neonate. So there's a different connection there.
Right.
But that mom can stimulate, protect, and support her supply by expressing milk and have enough for all three babies. And that's how your body works. And for each baby that you have, it's different. And the breast knows exactly what to do. So the first week, it's important to put baby to the breast at least every couple of hours to mm-hmm. every 3 hours. And that's from the start of the feed to the start of the next feed. So it's an average of an hour of feeding. And that would include burping, changing your nappy,
mm-hmm.
doing the skin to skin, putting baby's clothes back on again.
Yes.
And that would take you about an hour, an average of good 40 to 45 minutes of active feeding at the breast.
Right.
And we never time baby on the breast. We watch for good active swallowing.
Okay.
And swap baby to the other breast and bring back. When the volume is low and right. it's colostrum in the first 3 days before you have that filling, bring baby from breast to breast frequently as baby does good sessions. We okay. don't time on the breast. We don't do 10 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yes.
I don't time myself with a plate of food. I think I should, but I don't. And in theory, you shouldn't do that with baby, but you time from feed to feed so that they don't do a 5 or 6 hour stretch during the day.
Right.
And then they're up every hour and a half during the night trying to make up for the volume that they need in a 24-hour day.
Oh, I
because
see.
That's what your day is, midnight to midnight, not 8 to 5.
So, Linda, I just want to take you back a little bit. We talked
yes.
about breast care earlier, right?
Yes.
And it just got a thought past me now. At what point during your pregnancy should you start breast care?
Like I said, it's an average of 35 to 36 weeks. We don't
okay.
want to really do it earlier than that.
Okay.
And like I said, we don't want to stimulate any contractions.
Yes.
So it would be, if you're not feeling sure about doing it, consult with your healthcare professional before doing it. Just because of the risk of stimulating the breast.
Okay.
But in an uncomplicated pregnancy where you've been healthy, there's no reason why you couldn't at least once a day, when your body's warm and you're comfortable and you're having that time to yourself in the shower, to massage your breast. So it's average of 35, 36 weeks.
Okay. So purely in the last month.
Yes, it's last month.
Right.
That's exactly it. And purely because if you are having a planned cesarean birth, usually your doctor, they don't like to do the cesarean birth if you've gone into labor because of what the uterus is doing at that time. It's contracting.
Okay.
So they would normally book you to have your baby 38, 39 weeks.
Right.
Where you would very unlikely have gone into labor. So it's a little bit earlier than a full-term baby of 40 weeks where you're going to be delivering your baby. And so they would encourage you to be ready by 38 weeks, 38
right.
and a half weeks to
right.
book in for your Caesar. So to have your breast care in place for 2 or 2.5, 3 weeks before that is ideal. And that's perfect.
Then another question. We talked about keeping baby, not timing yourself, you know,
right.
Watching baby and being mindful
and
allowing baby to stop when he or she is full.
Right.
What happens when baby falls asleep whilst feeding?
Yes. Well, I just call that bad table manners. You don't fall asleep at the table in the restaurant, they'll chuck you out. No, so babies, it's a very soothing place. It's warm.
Yes.
And we'll talk a lot more about skin to skin, but you do want to feed your baby in a skin-to-skin contact.
Okay.
So skin-to-skin contact is important because it keeps baby awake.
Right.
It also keeps baby warm. And they don't fall asleep too easily. So it's almost like trying to eat under your duvet cover. You're just too comfortable. You're not going to be able to eat nicely.
Ah.
So you want baby a little bit more alert, not cold, but
yes,
warm against you, but alert and awake. So babies take breaks at the breast to breathe. They
right.
need to breathe as well because their mouth is full of breast tissue and full of boob. And they need to breathe through their noses. And it takes energy to breathe as well. So they actually take breaks and it might look like they're falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be an average, even up to a minute, which is quite a long time actually, for to take a break to breathe. And then you would just talk to your baby. Let's call him Simon. Simon, come on. And he'll recognize your voice and you'll go, oh, yes, yes, that's right. And he'll carry on sucking and swallowing. And you watch for his cues. Or he might just come off. And you would then break,
right,
swap him over. If he's still open in his mouth and rooting, he's clearly not had enough.
Yes.
If he pouts, most babies, newborn babies right from the beginning, will pout if they've had enough. Actually close their mouths so that you'll be stimulating and bobbing him and tickling with the nipple on his top lip.
Nothing.
And he's just going to do a little pout. So then you go to burping or changing nappy or making sure baby's a little bit uncomfortable. I often say wake to, so burp to wake rather
yes.
than break a wind. And then offer the other breast, come back to the other breast, offer him. If he still doesn't want, change him, put his clothes back on, offer again. And I always go in stages of feeding. You know, we've got our different menus and different courses.
Mm-hmm.
So going on to pudding and going on to cheese and biscuits and an after dinner
okay.
mint and offering. Until you can see that that baby's now not opening his mouth nicely, he's not interested, put him against your chest, keep him upright for a bit, and if he falls asleep, put him down. And so, yes, it's important that moms recognize that and they're not timing baby at the breast. They are allowing them breaks to breathe,
yes,
but they shouldn't be stagnant and not doing anything. In other words, they're not sucking, they're not swallowing, they're basically resting at the breast. And these will be the moms that actually say to me, oh, I've been feeding for 2 hours. I know I can't even eat for 2 hours. So baby couldn't either. What they've done is they've fed for a short time and then fallen asleep on the breast.
Right.
And they've actually done their sleep time on the breast, which is not an issue, but it's just that mom's under the impression that she's still feeding.
Yes.
So she needs to learn baby's cues and recognize him. And that does take time and practice.
I'm sure. And is it necessary to burp baby in between swapping him over?
It's not actually. You know, with breastfeeding, because you're lifting baby and changing them onto the other breast, they almost burp either on your breast, which is just, like I say, bad table manners, but sometimes they even burp as you're moving them.
Yep.
You can give them the option to burp, but because they can only be awake for a short time and they need to be feeding, you're not going to waste time burping.
Mm-hmm.
If they default from the breast and they're not wanting to latch and they're fussing and they're wriggling and they're opening their mouth, but they're not really wanting to latch and
mm-hmm.
you're struggling, default to burping then. Then go into a burping session of 1 or 2 minutes of burping and maybe change nappy and come back again to the breast and always offer again.
Okay.
And usually that would be a session of about an hour included for all those activities of burping and changing and dressing baby.
So, you know, I know you talked about the process because
yes.
of how baby's going to go through this and, you know, with the milk supply and all of that. But as baby's growing now, many mums believe that maybe baby's not getting enough
yes.
nutrition from
yes.
the breast milk, right?
Let's come back to that point.
Okay.
Yes.
So, like, the first, I mean, let's talk about colostrum, right? I
right.
mean, like, it starts there.
That's it.
And let's
small
take us through that journey. Yes.
And very rich, high in protein and antibodies, everything the baby needs to be protected in a world that is got germs in it, and most babies are born in a hospital where there is a high risk of disease.
So I'm going to ask you to simplify it even further for
right.
dads and moms that are absolutely new to this, right?
Right?
What is colostrum?
So colostrum is the newborn milk. It's the milk that is present in the breast at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings have this very thick, it's almost called the golden standard of breastfeeding because it's a very golden color usually.
So it's not the
color
of milk.
No. And even mature breast milk sometimes can have a different hue of blue as compared to cow's milk, for example, because cow is a different mammal.
Right.
And we are species-specific, we are mammals,
yes,
give birth to live children, live babies, and feed them milk. So that's the species that we are. However, our milk is very different. Our human breast milk is very, very different to any other mammal. And each mammal has different milk specific to their babies.
That's
how specific it is. And so colostrum is designed to nourish your baby but protect your baby against disease. It's got a lot of good antibodies in it, mostly of what the mom has in her body,
mm-hmm,
from diseases she's had as a child, diseases she had recently, flu she had last week. She's got all those antibodies having fought off that disease or viral infection. She's got those antibodies, and that is passed through passively to baby. So the colostrum is really important. Now, the interesting thing for me is that often the moms, if they don't have an opportunity to breastfeed straight after birth,
mm-hmm,
babies separated for them for a good reason of being needing extra care in the neonates or in the observation unit or the nursery, the moms tend to think that the colostrum, after a few days, there isn't colostrum, but there is.
Mm.
So get baby to the breast as soon as possible, even if there is a delayed connection between the two of you. Get baby to the breast. And I often give that responsibility to the dads to make sure that that baby gets to mom as soon as possible after birth. There shouldn't be a long length of separation between the two. And it should be mom that has baby on her chest straight away. And so that baby then has the opportunity to get that colostrum right from the beginning. And slowly, as baby stimulates the breast, feed after feed, averagely every 3 hours, 24/7, for the first 2 to 3 days, the milk that's removed, mum starts making more milk, and the milk transitions. It's actually called transition milk,
mm-hmm,
where it transitions into a different type of milk. The water increases for thirst and different things that babies need. Now, if a baby's premature or slightly premature, say baby's born at 36 weeks but absolutely fine, doesn't need any extra care, your milk is specifically for that baby of that age and development. That's just how it works. It's just incredible. And so it's really even more important to make sure that baby gets that milk. And so good breastfeeding, allowing that baby to put a demand on your breasts, the supply will settle to that baby's demand, and baby will feed offering enough, and that milk will transition over the next couple of weeks. And by 3 weeks, averagely, you've got your mature breast milk, which pretty much will change over the hours during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally changes from hour to hour, from feed to feed, and then from week to week and month to month as baby changes. And by 6 weeks, your milk supply is established. Obviously, you want to get it established as soon as possible within the first 2 to 3 weeks.
Yes.
But in theory, by the time your filling has happened in that first week, then baby's given a demand, basically you will supply. There's no reason why you shouldn't.
So let's look at some of the concerns that moms have in terms of their diet, for example.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does mom's diet affect the quality of the milk that's been produced?
Not necessarily, mm-hmm, but they need to be eating a good, healthy, nutrient-dense meal plans.
Okay.
So that they're getting all the food groups. The one food group, which is not, it's a good food group. It's got some good value and some good nutrients in it, is dairy. But we tend to have too much of it.
Ah.
It's an easy food group to overeat on.
That's true.
The cheese, the milk, the yogurt. You know, before you've realized you've got butter on a sandwich, you've got grated cheese on there, you're having a cafe latte with it or a chai latte, and it's too much milk,
at
too much cheese, too much butter. Yeah, exactly. Can you see how easy it is to overdo it with dairy? So I say to my moms, cut, especially in late pregnancy, cut back on dairy. Don't cut out. It's a good food group. There is a protein in there, and baby may be sensitive to it. So a lot of health professionals, including pediatricians, will say, cut out dairy. It's quite difficult to cut it out because it's basically in everything. You know, most products do. You have to look at all the labels.
That's true.
So it's difficult to cut out, but cut back and try to just use other food groups like hummus as a spread rather than cream cheese, and your nuts or your nut milks, your nut butters. You can use those instead of having yogurt. There are coconut yogurts that you can have, or soya yogurts, not maybe as tasty, but that sort of cuts back on the protein mm-hmm. and the amount of cow's milk protein, as in dairy, as in the bovine cow.
Yes.
And just cuts back on that. And then on top of that, besides the protein molecule that's in dairy, you've got the sugar, the lactose.
Of course.
And of course that in milk, yogurt, cheese, is it can be a little bit high. It's not as high in all of the products, but certainly in milk it is. Actually, a cup or a glass of, which is 250 mils, is about 3 teaspoons of sugar equivalent, as in cane sugar, as in the, wow. the glucose,
yes.
The dextrose amount that you're getting. So it can then add to mom having too much sugar in her system, which doesn't do you well because it's not healthy. And so cut back on dairy, but otherwise include all your food groups. Mm. Don't change your meal plans. Mm. Don't change the type of food you're eating. Eat what you're used to and make sure you're getting enough of every meal plan. There are what we call galactagogues, and those are things that can increase milk supply that are known by research to increase the prolactin hormone, mm-hmm. And that prolactin hormone is the hormone that makes milk, it produces milk. So prolactin hormone, producing milk, okay. the P. And that is the hormone that is active when baby comes to the breast as well, that is making more milk. By the way, the breast is never empty.
Oh, I see.
You can drain the breast, but it's never empty.
Fascinating. Okay.
So that's one thing that the moms need to know. But I'm sure my breast is empty. There's no more milk. No, it's never empty once you establish your supply. So going to the breast, establishing your supply, baby drains that milk, and baby gets everything they need. If you're needing a support vitamin or a food group, mm-hmm. for example, a galactagogue of any type, there are so many, I'm not going to mention them, but a galactagogue means it's a product that helps increase milk supply.
Okay.
It's basically something usually that you take by mouth or a food that you would eat. Some of the cultures will say that millipap,
yes,
and your maize porridge made like that can help increase supply. It's not that. It's just that it's a grain and it's got brewer's yeast and all the good vitamins in it
right.
that helps your body produce milk. It doesn't increase the prolactin, but it gives you the energy to make milk because it does take energy to make milk. It takes about 600 calories to produce milk, and that's just a daily amount. It's about 2,000 kilojoules of energy that you're using daily to produce milk. It's a factory. It is like a factory. And so moms need to be eating to get the energy. So it's yeah. really about keeping your energy levels up and keeping hydrated.
Yes, because moms have instinctually, many of them, feel yes. like they've put on weight during their pregnancy.
Correct.
And they need to cut back. But during those times, you actually need to make sure you're getting the right nutrients.
That's
like
right.
saying.
And healthy ones. You know, it's very easy to cut into those packet of biscuits and all the sweet things, the muffins and the
go-tos.
Yeah. And it is, and I understand because you've got very little time to yourself. Yeah. And that's why breast care is so important to have to yourself. But with regards to meal plans, get your support system going.
Yes.
Grandparents, prepare meals ahead of time, frozen meals, get a support system in place, a meal train, for example.
Yeah.
There's even an app on that where people can actually say, I'm bringing you chicken a la king tonight or whatever.
Yes.
And actually, there are no foods that will affect your milk. You're not going to have too much of one thing. It doesn't pass through your milk. So cutting out onion or your cruciferous vegetables like your broccoli and things that make wind as such is not actually true.
Yes, because that's often the case. People say if you eat the gassy vegetables, baby's not going to be crampy.
Yes,
and
correct.
All of those kind of
things.
Yeah,
no, and that's not actually true. Obviously, it's everything in moderation. You don't want to put too many. You're going to be uncomfortable. Never mind baby. So you don't want to put too many food groups or of the same food group mm-hmm. That you're eating. You want a good variety. And that's what's important. So don't cut out anything. Just make sure you're well hydrated with good choices of your different food groups that you've got in place throughout the day.
Now, if mom is ill
yes.
during that time, must she right. stop breastfeeding?
No, not at all. It's the most important time to breastfeed. Because first of all, her body is fighting off that infection, whatever it may be. Usually it could be respiratory mm-hmm. or it could be digestive. That's right. usually the most common. So it would either be a gastro
mm-hmm.
or it could be a cold or influenza. And so she's building antibodies. All of those antibodies, regardless of what she is fighting off, whatever infection it may be, she actually has got those antibodies and they will pass through the breast milk to baby to protect baby. If anybody else is sick, like dad, rather keep them away. They must either wear a mask, wash their hands if they're going to have to be involved with baby. But mom needs to breastfeed even so. She shouldn't stop breastfeeding, no, no. However, you do want to, just like we did in COVID, take those cross-infection recommendations in place.
Yeah.
Wear a mask if you're coughing. Wash your hands before you handle baby, because if you're touching your nose, that's where the virus is, and then you're handling baby. So definitely keep with washing hands, keep with masks. Every professional's been doing that for years.
Yeah.
So keep with that, but continue to breastfeed. Yes, baby needs those. Baby's not going to get sick through the breast milk. There are certain diseases where we would separate baby, and COVID we weren't sure of, so there was some separation going on where we took babies away from moms, but we just weren't sure of that disease. So we weren't 100% sure, but the studies show that it does not pass through. The actual virus does not pass through breast milk.
Goodness for that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. There are some, but I'm not going to go into that now.
No.
So there's no reason to separate baby from mom.
Yes.
She continues to breastfeed, and that can be the common cold. It can be a gastro bug. She's just got to make sure that she's getting enough fluids and hydration and look after herself.
And if there's any concern or uncertainty,
yes,
of course, always, I mean, you're going to go to your doctor, consult with your professional, your medical professional, and to just make sure that you, whatever you might have,
yes,
that you feel confident of feeding baby with whatever you have.
And also you want to get better quickly. You want to feel good because you're busy with baby a lot of the time. So you don't want to have feel, because you can't just lie in bed and wait to get better.
That's true. That's true.
Don't have time for yourself.
Now, I mean, after all of this that you spoke about, right, you can have all of this knowledge,
yes,
and mums can still feel stuck,
right,
or unsure. And it's okay to ask for help, right? It's
absolutely
so important to ask for help.
You know, in this day and age, there's so many professionals, not only lactation consultants, but occupational therapists, physiotherapists, even for moms that are struggling to get position right. They've got a sore neck, a sore back. They need to be looking after themselves so they can look after their family. And so call on a professional. Make sure that you are supported well. There is, even for counseling, you know, if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, struggling with what we call postnatal distress, and that can include anxiety, depression, because it is hormonal. There's a huge hormone dance and change going on in your body from the pregnancy to milk producing and being a mother and all those feelings around that, getting back into lovemaking with your husband, all those different emotions. And sometimes we just need someone to guide and to just debrief with and bounce off where we're at and just check in with someone. Absolutely. So very good idea to call on someone. There's so many professionals out there that are trained and that can help you and give you skills and tips on how to manage yourself and how to manage your mothering. And I've often said to my couples, mom-to-mom support is vital.
Yeah.
And mother groups, that is really, really important. Not that they should need to give counsel, as in a professional, but often they can be a good support.
Yeah.
You know, just getting together and breastfeeding for a morning together, or joining in a baby massage class and attending that, where they're just meeting other people. So yes, ask for help. Don't isolate yourself. Don't try and keep this to yourself. It's usually the partners that will pick up that moms are struggling a little bit. And that's where the support comes in initially.
Yeah.
It's just being together on this. You're the family.
Now, before we close on this particular topic, we also know some of the questions that we got from our listeners as well, with mums having to go back to work sooner.
Yes, that's right.
And do they need to pump? Can they pump? Can they move over to that and then move between pumping and leaving that milk for baby and then breastfeeding in the afternoon or when they get back home? How
Absolutely.
Do they manage that and juggle that with their work
Absolutely.
Life?
You don't need to give up breastfeeding just because you're going back to work. In fact, in South Africa, there is, in the Employment Act, there is a clause that gives mothers that have babies under the age of 6 months, 6 months and younger, permission to either breastfeed or to express breast milk and pump breast milk for their babies in a work day.
Okay.
So that can be reviewed. And It is important that you do your best to provide this milk for baby. It changes. It's a season. By a year of age, baby, in theory, only really needs the morning milk and the evening milk. They don't need milk during the day. If they are on a good comprehensive meal plan where they're having breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, supper, they only really need a breastfeed before you go to work and in the evening before they go to bed.
Right.
So you would be having your coffee, baby would be having his breastfeed or his breast milk if you were expressing and dad was giving it and you were leaving early. And then when you get back in the evening, baby's bath time and bedtime, that would be a breastfeed. And basically those two feeds stay in place for the second year and then babies wean off milk. They don't need milk. And that's all dependent on their meal plans and what food groups they actually are able to have according to their socioeconomic group. And that really is the reality of it. So some moms are going back to work as early as 2 weeks. And if they are still in the same province, certainly in South Africa, and they're still in the same province and they're still able to have baby with them and still live with baby, because that's the reality. That some mothers are working in different places and they have to travel and they're only getting back once a month maybe to visit. And there are other support people looking after the baby. But if you are able to be with baby, breastfeed as much as you can. And when you're not able to be with baby, express. Okay. It can either be that you learn how to hand express or to get a simple pump that can effectively take off the milk for you and provide that milk for baby while you're away. But like I say, that slowly baby will wean off those milk feeds during the day because they're replaced by solid food. Absolutely. And that's the beauty of it. And so you can, your milk supply will adjust again and be established according to baby's demand, according to that age. So you won't be able to make a huge amount at a year because baby doesn't need it. Wow. At a year of age. Yes.
Well, Linda, this has just been so informative and fascinating. And even though I've done it twice, I'm learning about it all over again.
Lovely.
There's so much that gets left out during your personal journey, and just being able to share with our mums and just have their eyes open to some new information to help them on their journey, I think is really, really important. But if you could leave mums with one final piece of encouragement on their breastfeeding journey, or to begin their breastfeeding journey if they haven't started yet, what would that be?
Firstly, prepare yourself. The one thing you can prepare yourself with is either an online or a childbirth education class.
Mm-hmm.
So preparing yourself on what to expect. Just get to know what is breastfeeding. Don't just presume it comes naturally. And then get the support you need. Get your support team in place, your husband, grandparents, a friend,
and make sure they understand too, right?
That they can support you in this, that they keep you positive about it. And then, like I say, seek professional help as you need it, but prepare for it. It doesn't just come naturally.
Yeah.
Some mothers do get it more naturally than others, but there can be very challenging moments. But it is definitely possible, and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. It's such a different season of your life, and that connection with that baby just for that short time just is eternal. It's lovely.
A lifetime of happiness. Now, if our listeners want to get hold of you, Linda, because I'm sure they have lots of questions and would like a personal consultation probably, or come and see you, where can we find you?
So at the moment, I am consulting and running a well baby clinic at the Little Bright Fox Mom and Baby Studio.
Right.
And that is actually at the Green Roots Gallery in Walter Frieden Park, very close to the Wilkie-Hivel Life Hospital.
Okay.
And I consult there in the afternoons, mainly Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
And that little studio is run by Danny and by Jen. Jen does all the admin, and Danny is a psychologist as well as trained and has her training in education.
Oh,
and she runs the baby classes, stimulation classes, massage classes.
I see.
And so I come in and run the Well Baby Clinic, where we discuss everything. I refer out for immunizations. I give advice on them and what to do. So I don't administer vaccines. Don't like pricking babies, so I let someone else do that. And basically, we discuss absolutely everything with regards to baby and development and especially feeding, and just make sure that moms are feeling confident in their journey for years ahead.
Absolutely.
Right from birth.
And if do you have a social media handle that they can get hold of you on?
I don't actually, but the Little Bright Fox
If they can
they've got an Instagram, they've got a Facebook, they've got all sorts of things. Wonderful. So they can definitely contact me through there. All my details are on that handle.
Okay.
And yes, I also, like I said, I specialize in the breastfeeding as well. So I do consult. This morning I actually consulted a mom with her second baby, and that baby's gone to the breast beautifully. I saw her directly after birth. So I normally consult in the first 24 hours and get that mom off to a good start with her breastfeeding and supporting that way.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So lovely.
You have a very rewarding job.
Very. I'm so blessed. So blessed. And I'm honored and privileged enough to see these babies right from birth. So wonderful. Lovely. Thank you.
No, thank you. And thank you for tuning in to this episode of Mama Magic's Lights, Camera, Baby. I hope our conversation has inspired you and given you the confidence to begin or continue your breastfeeding journey. Remember, it takes practice and support, like Linda's just said. And every feed is a chance to bond with your baby and to learn together. And it's a truly, truly precious moment. And again, like we said, if you'd like to contact Linda or connect with her for guidance and support, you can find her at the Little Bright Fox Mom and Baby Studio. And to all of you again, thank you so much for being part of our community. If this episode encouraged you, please share it with another parent, like, follow, subscribe, and you'll never know who else might need the same reassurance that you do. I'm your host, Progeny Patha. Until next time, trust your body, trust your baby, and remember, you're not alone on this journey.